two camps. One believes that the picture of the universe is nearly complete, lacking only one piece, which will be discovered in the future as long as the search is persistent. The other camp believes that the missing piece makes the whole picture vague and doubtful. We could also call these the business-as-usual camp. Build the biggest accelerator, create more powerful telescopes, do more calculations, spend more money. Versus the revolutionary camp. Start all over with a new model of the universe. Because the business-as-usual camp considers itself practical and pragmatic, its mantra is, shut up and calculate, meaning that too much theory is nothing but idle speculation. In order for the business-as-usual camp to be victorious in the end, it must pry some very stubbornly embedded particles from the quantum fabric. Only then will its calculations be validated. So far, optimism runs high, ever since one of the most important of these particles, the Higgs boson, was finally observed in 2012. We've mentioned how the quantum vacuum bubbles up with subatomic particles. Some of these are so elusive that dislodging them requires enormous amounts of machinery in the form of large and expensive accelerators. By bombarding an atom at ultra-high energy, the quantum vacuum sometimes pops out a new kind of particle. It's precise, painstaking work. But these new particles predicted in the next generation theories prove whether existing theories are actually correct. The Higgs boson was predicted to exist, and therefore its discovery, when confirmed, would indicate that the standard model matches reality. But the standard model isn't the end. It is not grand unification. The function of the Higgs boson is to give mass to other fluctuations in the quantum field, a technicality we don't need to dwell on. But this function is basic to the existence of all created physical objects. The media latched on to the nickname of God particle, which embarrasses almost all physicists. To them, the validation of the Higgs boson was a triumph, because it fills out one of the last remaining fundamental particles. The torch of the Statue of Liberty has been found, and the theoretical picture is very nearly complete. Searching for the last missing piece took 5 decades, ever since British physicist Peter Higgs and others first proposed that the so-called Higgs field existed. The new discovery fits a familiar pattern. The history of modern physics has been a triumphant parade of proven results that mesh with theoretical predictions. The Higgs boson may be an important link to how the 4 fundamental forces are connected, but it could also be the end of the parade, since bringing gravity into the fold may be impossible in terms of validation. The graviton, a theoretical particle that pops out of the field of gravity when it is excited, is far from being observed or observable. One obstacle is a matter of technology. By some estimates, an accelerator that might produce the acceleration and energy necessary to get us any closer to the origin of physical reality would have to be bigger than the circumference of the Earth. This obstacle doesn't have to end the story, though. Math can get around practical difficulties. There isn't a scale big enough to weigh a blue whale, but its weight can be determined using calculations about its size, the density of its mass, and comparisons with smaller whales and dolphins that can be weighed. But the business-as-usual camp finds itself waist-deep in a mathematical swamp, while string theory, superstring theory, and M theory have added layer upon layer of complexity, but nothing verifiable in real life. It's strange that a failure to wriggle out of a very basic difficulty should call the entire cosmos into question. But reality is one thing, not two. The smallest and the largest things must be connected in some way. The fact that the connections are invisible doesn't stop mathematics. But the mathematics is so complicated, with large gaps remaining and obvious patches applied to the bald spots, adding to the impression that if one gets too far away from reality, even mathematics can't come to the rescue. Unless, of course, we admit that the unreasonable power of mathematics, as physicists say, is pointing to the mental nature, from which mathematics originates, of the cosmos. Why does the universe fit together so perfectly? We say that the universe began with a bang, but actually the early universe was more like a shy performer emerging from its dressing room. The early universe took its time until every seam and stitch fit together perfectly. Billions of years later, we look around and are amazed that we inhabit a cosmos that fits human life perfectly. In fact, too perfectly. There is no reasonable way to explain how the Big Bang can have every seam and stitch in place. It's as if Leonardo da Vinci managed to paint The Last Supper by throwing paint randomly against a wall and hoping for the best. Yet current cosmology insists that the early universe had to develop through random chance. There was no designer and certainly no designer behind the scenes. Scientific creation stories all exclude God in any form. But how do you get the incredible orderliness of human DNA, with its 3 billion basic chemical units, starting with a stick of cosmic dynamite? How does order come out of chaos, in other words? An answer can't be found without using a good deal of brain power, and yet your brain is a perfect example of how the problem comes home in everyone's life. In order for one to read the words on a page, extremely precise processes must take place in the brain's visual cortex. The specks of ink on the page must register as meaningful information. The information has to be presented in a language you understand. As your eye passes from one word to the next, the meaning of each word is connected to that of the next word, and then disappears out of view, but not out of our minds. This is miraculous enough, but the real mystery is that the molecules inside each brain cell are locked into fixed, predetermined actions and reactions. If you place iron in contact with free atoms of oxygen, they form ferrous oxide, or rust, every time. The atoms have no choice in the matter. They can't form salt or sugar instead. Meanwhile, despite the fixed laws of chemistry in the brain, you manage to have thousands of new experiences every day, jumbled in unique ways that make today different from yesterday or tomorrow. So the evidence of the brain tells us that chaos and order won't necessarily have a simpler relationship. Chemistry is completely predetermined. Thinking is free. If we can solve how they relate, the universe may yield up its deepest secret of all. More important, we'll discover how the mind works, which, to be candid, is more interesting to most people than the Big Bang. Grasping the mystery. In physics, the riddle of why a random universe fits together so well is known as the fine-tuning problem. But before jumping into science, we can find clues in something much older: creation myths. And though every culture has its own creation myths that arose and were passed down over many centuries, all the stories can be broken down into two classes. The first class explains creation through a familiar action that people can relate to. For example, in India, one myth says that the forces of light and darkness created the world by using a mountain, Mount Meru, like the paddle in a milk churn, pulling the paddle back and forth until butter solidified out of an ocean of milk. The second class of myths wraps creation in a mystery by doing the exact opposite, trying to show that the world was created by totally supernatural means. The Judeo-Christian creation story in the book of Genesis adheres to this pattern. Yahweh begins with a void and magically turns it into light, the heavens, the earth, and all the creatures upon the earth. There is no similarity to anything in everyday life like churning butter. Until now. Modern cosmology parallels Genesis by positing that the universe arose when something emerged from nothing. It would offend the scientific mind to call it magical or supernatural. So let's call it mysterious, which would be the understatement of the century. Creation is very big. The universe appears potentially to extend 46 billion light years as far as the eye or the telescope can see. This is how far light has traveled since the Big Bang. As the baby universe expanded, it didn't fly apart haphazardly. It began to take shape according to certain rules known as the constants of nature, rules that can be formulated with mathematical precision. A few of these constants have already appeared in the audiobook, namely the speed of light and the constant of gravity. Constants create order in nature, like old-fashioned mothers who saw it as their duty to have dinner on the table at the same time every night. The problem is, order and pattern had to come from somewhere, and the only somewhere anybody can prove is the Big Bang. And that was totally chaotic, until suddenly, it wasn't. Clearly, something more is needed besides waiting around, and the same holds true for the universe. But what? The physics community accepts that fine-tuning exists. Too much or too little gravity, too much or too little mass, too much or too little electric charge would have caused the newborn universe either to collapse in on itself or to fly apart too fast for atoms and molecules to form. Therefore, stable stars could not have formed, or any of the complex structures in cosmic evolution. Further down the line, life on Earth would have been impossible without a variety of cosmic coincidences, such as the presence of the essential amino acids, the building blocks of proteins, which apparently existed in interstellar dust. Physicists also agree that we have to discover where the constants of nature came from. Precise mathematical laws govern the four fundamental forces: gravity, electromagnetism, and the strong and weak nuclear forces. For example, when measuring the gravity at remotely separate locations, such as on Mars, or on a distant star light years away, no matter how unlike these environments are, the constant that applies to gravity remains the same. Relying on constants allows Earthbound physicists to travel mentally to the farthest reaches of space and time. When they do this, some startling coincidences crop up. For example, out in deep space, the explosion of the very largest stars, massive supernovas, are occurrences that can be observed through powerful telescopes on Earth or orbiting around it. Supernova explosions that occurred billions of years ago are responsible for forming all the heavy elements in existence, such as calcium, phosphorus, iron, cobalt, and nickel, to name just a few. Atoms of these elements first circulated as interstellar dust. Gravity caused them to clump together, and eventually, they wound up inside the ancient solar nebula, where all planets, including our own, formed. The iron that makes your blood red came from a supernova that self-destructed eons ago. The specifics of the explosion are determined by the weak and strong forces, which exists at the infinitesimally small scale of the atomic nucleus. If these forces were different by as little as 1% or so, there would be no supernova explosions, no formation of heavy elements, and therefore, no life as we know it. A particular constant governing the weak force had to be exactly what it turns out to be. Let's consider some specific cases of fine-tuning at the level of everyday reality, where matter is comfortably composed of atoms and molecules. What's known as the fine structure constant determines the properties of these atoms and molecules. It is a pure number, approximately 1 over 137. If the fine structure constant were different by as little as around 1%, no atoms or molecules as we know them would exist. As relates to life on Earth, the fine structure constant determines how solar radiation is absorbed in our atmosphere. And it also applies to how photosynthesis works in plants. The sun just happens to emit the majority of its radiation in a part of the spectrum where the atmosphere of Earth just happens to allow sunlight through without absorbing or deflecting it. Here we run into another perfect match between two extremes of nature. In this case, the perfect match allows for just the right portion of the spectrum to reach Earth's surface for plants to feed on. The gravitational constant, which governs the sun's radiation, is a macroscopic value, while the atmospheric transmission of sunlight, with only some wavelengths making it through, is determined by the fine structure constant and is applicable on a microscopic scale. There is no clear reason why two constants, separately governing very big things and very small things, should mesh. It's like discovering that a child's fingerprints can tell you if he'll grow up to be a brain surgeon. Yet, if these two effects didn't mesh together perfectly, there would be no life as we know it. With good reason, the fine-tuning problem has been called one of the biggest embarrassments of physics, although biology can also take a share. Life depends on a fragile balance of constants, too. In fact, it was the total improbability of a universe that leads to life on Earth that brought fine-tuning into high relief. The existence of DNA involves too many coincidences, going back to the Big Bang itself. Theorists began to consider whether these coincidences are actually something else, an indicator that some deep underlying unity has been missed. The clues to this hidden unity are the suspiciously fine-tuned constants, although many other kinds of coincidences arouse the same suspicion. Figuring out why the universe is so fine-tuned has preoccupied many cosmologists, and one contingent has long been uncomfortable assigning the universe to pure chance. Here's a famous passage from astronomer Fred Hoyle. "A junkyard contains all the bits and pieces of a Boeing 747, dismembered and in disarray. A whirlwind happens to blow through the yard. What is the chance that after its passage, a fully assembled 747, ready to fly, will be found standing there? So small as to be negligible, even if a tornado were to blow through enough junkyards to fill the whole universe." For the majority of working physicists, Hoyle's analogy doesn't hold water, because the equations underlying QM and its tremendous predictive power dictate the operation of random chance and uncertainty. Still, explaining why the constants are so fine-tuned defies current knowledge, and there's even the intriguing possibility that they must be fine-tuned.